Blog Talk Radio.
Interesting day, and a lot of events, a lot of interesting historical characters. John Brown, the guy who attacked Harper's Ferry and was later captured and hung, and he was opposed to slavery, he was born in 1800. The guy who invented the Opel rotary engine, Opel, which General Motors bought, and that was a subsidiary in Europe, Adam Opel, on this day. Confederate spy, quite a belle, Belle Boyd. She was born today. The guy who invented the building a ship a day during World War II and later was a great engineer. And today we have Kaiser Hospitals. He's the guy that came up with a comprehensive medical plan for his workers. Henry Kaiser is born on this day. Famous Spanish author. Jose Ortega y Gasset, it's his birthday. And then this guy is probably the most interesting of the Nazi hierarchy, Baldur von Schirach. He was born in Berlin. His father was a German, I think had an aristocratic background, but his mother was American, who traced her lineage back to two signers of the Declaration of Independence. Hitler appointed him the head of the Nazi youth, Hitler Youth, and there's an allegation that he was bisexual. And this is one of the interesting aspects of modern homosexuality, as long as these people are masculine, that's acceptable among the homosexual purists, advocates. The feminization, and even among the in-group of homosexuals, they denigrate the screaming queens. These are their phrases. Nelly, all these derogatory expressions are in expressions from masculine homosexuals. And this was the whole thing about the Nazi movement. You had Ernest Röhm, who was the political godfather of these political agendas such as gay marriage, homosexuality, and the open homosexuality in the military. He said nothing about lesbianism, although you look at some of those women that were Gauleiters or were capos in the concentration camps, and if they didn't look like dykes, I don't know what does or what did. And very hateful people. Also, he was a National Socialist, and of course the German term is Nazi, and Ernest Röhm was a war hero in World War I. He helped bring Hitler to power with his brown shirts, and he thought Hitler was too conservative, And then in the Night of the Long Knives in the middle of the 1930s, Hitler was given an ultimatum by Himmler and the German industrialists: you get rid of these homosexuals or you lose support. So Hitler, being an opportunist, unleashed Himmler, who Himmler considered Rome an opponent and a competitor for power in Nazi Germany. And so it was relished. They massacred just about all of the brown shirts, the SA as they call it. I can never pronounce the German word for the SA. Among the other interesting birthdays today, for those of you who love animals and dog training, Barbara Woodhouse, famous English lady, and there's something about the English and dogs. Great Italian composer, not composer, conductor and musician, cellist. He served in World War II in the Italian Army. He was associate conductor of the Chicago Symphony. He made many fine recordings. Carlo Maria Giulini. Also, he let his wife handle all the money. He never had any money in his pockets. For those of you who remember London Records and a lot of pop dance music, Frank Chatsfield. And, of course, he just died, Mike Wallace of CBS. I think the name was Wallachinsky, Russian Jewish ethnicity heritage. And, of course, his son works for Fox TV. The Secretary of the Agriculture in both the JFK and the LBJ administrations, Orville Freeman, the former governor of Minnesota. Among the interesting deaths today was William Bradford, the first governor of Massachusetts. Books de Hoodie, the composer, Baroque and medieval composer, a lot of some fine organ music. A woman composer we don't hear much about, but very talented, and women never got the credit as composers, conductors, or even pianists. Ethel May Smith, English woman. This guy played a lot of a variety of roles, usually Nazi. He had this European accent as he spoke his English. Philip Dorn. From Here to Eternity, the great Jim Jones, James Jones, not that Jim Jones, not the Reverend Jones, but James Jones served in World War II in a famous film that relaunched Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra's career was in the dumps. Montgomery Clift was in the movie. Also, Ernest Borgnine, who played the brutal head of the sergeant in charge of the brig, who beat... I think it was Frank Sinatra practically to death. And then among the events today, we had the first newspaper cartoon, which predated the American Revolution, and the caption was "Join or Die." In 1788, the English were the first ones to move to abolish slavery. So the English Parliament passed a resolution to abolish the slave trade, but it took them a little while longer. Incidentally, it was Portugal and Brazil which were the last countries in Europe and in South America to abolish slavery, and that wasn't until the very late 1800s, early 19th century. During the American Civil War, the U.S. Naval Academy was moved from Annapolis, which is in Maryland, and Maryland was threatened. It was moved to Rhode Island. Today, there is a Navy training facility. I think it's a college, Naval War College, is in Rhode Island. Then we had Mother's Day was the official proclamation signed into law, was signed by President Woodrow Wilson, or Thomas Woodrow Wilson, that was his first name. Richard Byrd, who was the brother of Senator Harry Byrd from Virginia, and Floyd Bennett, the great aviator, did the first flight over the North Pole. Floyd Bennett was with Will Rogers and Newt Rockne, and their plane crashed in the 30s. And Waltzing Matilda in 1927, Canberra was declared the new Australian capital. And then on this day also, the Roman Catholic Church canonized the first Native American Indian, Kateri Tekakwitha. I think I got it pronounced right. And in 1941, the British were very good at spying, probably the best in the original European spies. They broke the German spy codes, which they got a hold of an Enigma machine and figured out how the keys worked. It was one of the best kept secrets of World War II. And then in New York, in 1944, during World War II, the first eye bank was set up in New York City. And then also on this date, May 9th, actually the war ended May 8th, 1944, there was the Victory Parade in Red Square. And then we're seeing this today, which may be the disintegration of this European Union. In 1950, Robert Schuman, who was a Frenchman, he came up. He was one of the prime instigators of a European Union, and this is when it started. And now we're seeing with all these bankruptcies in Spain, Italy, Portugal, Ireland, Greece, and it was Trump who says that people are going to go back to the countries are going to go back to their original currency, and the Germans are the strongest of all. Of course, they suffered the most, and of course, they inflicted the most suffering on people in two wars. But the Germans always come back, and as Churchill says, the Germans are always at your feet or at your throat. Of course, some people think they're in your pocketbook at this point, some of the Europeans. And and in 1974, the House Judiciary Committee began impeachment hearings on Nixon, and this may happen to Mr. O with all the things he's doing. And then this is of great importance to the media, and also to the Stephen Nery case, and also to the terrorism that's going on in the days of rage, all this radical leftism. And Patty Hearst was released from jail after holding up the bank, and she was captured in an area of San Francisco which has a lot of history involving the murderers of San Francisco Police Inspector Brodnick, who I was acquainted with when I was working in those days. And also it has in that neighborhood Bill and Emily Harris, and the Japanese woman were also captured over in Pasita Park in San Francisco, and it'll be up on our website, Amicus Veritas, but it's not up there right now. Also, Patty Hearst was captured. She was jogging, and FBI agents had staked her out, and they were jogging with her, and then put the cuffs on her, as J. Edgar would say. And she was tried, and there was a big shakedown of the Hearst family fortune for this feeding program and the SLA, the Symbionese Liberation Army. Apparently, she claimed she was brainwashed and raped by Sing Q, I think that was his name, and a bunch of the other people. And that's she was turned, as I think that's the expression that they use. And of course, she later married a former U.S. Marshal. And so her name is, she's married and living a quiet life. But she was one of the family was Roman Catholic, I think. I don't know what she is now, but it has a lot of interesting history. Now, among the things, the controversy that are raging on is who's really behind this Occupy movement. And we've discovered because we monitor as much of the media, both corporate and underground and alternative, that we get our hands on. Their papers, called the Progressive Communist papers, have come out against capitalism, and they are promoting the Occupy movement, or these days of rage and anarchism. And of course, Ross Mirakarimi, who's been kicked out for the moment as San Francisco sheriff, he actually went down there to one of the Occupy violent protests or violent anarchist actions in the city of San Francisco, and he supported them. So this is what's going on with the radical left, and people are getting tired of it. They're getting tired of these agendas. And now the gay marriage thing, what people aren't looking at, or what the media isn't talking about, and of course Shepard Smith, who was on Fox TV today, telling people that they better pay attention to history. Now it turns out that he was outed by Advocate, which is a homosexual magazine. And I don't believe in outing people as long as they keep their sexuality to themselves and keep it private. That's their business, and that should be respected. However, they're going to start pushing agendas, and if they're going to start thrusting figuratively and literally their crotch into the face of the body politic, you know, we have to stand up and say no, resist, reject, repulse. you know. And again, it used to be that people's privacy was respected, but when they politicize these issues, then there has to be a reaction, and there is. We've seen it in North Carolina. People are beginning to realize it's not what is or isn't between your legs or their legs, what they wish was or wasn't. It's what's between your ears. And a lot of these people, it's just a void and a vacuum. And people are getting tired of it because the economy is it's getting worse and worse, and people are tired of these divisive issues, which are really not important when it comes down to, hey, even you've got to have money in your wallet in order, even if you're married or not. And among the big political fictions were that you couldn't visit your lover or whatever in hospital or make decisions for them. Well, it turns out that there was a form produced many years ago by the hospitals because they didn't want to get stuck making life and death decisions for single people or people in there who didn't originally indicate that they had someone who had the power of attorney. And this form came out, and so Mr. O is misleading people, or he's ignorant of this issue of visitation rights of partners and lovers and to their people who might be hospitalized. And, you know, stop and think about it. Hospitals get sued big time for malpractice, or and they don't want to be put in these positions that they have to make the decision because there's nobody else to make a decision for somebody who's critically ill. I mean, you know, there's a disconnect there. Among the other issues, and we were talking about it, an accident happened here in San Francisco last year, which involved someone from Southern California who was working for a telecommunications outfit driving a rental car, and he drove backwards, not paying attention to where he was going, on a one-way street, driving the wrong way, and he claimed that he told his victim that he was monitoring cell phone reception and, I guess, radiation. Now, one of the big issues about cell phones, especially these relays located in neighborhoods where there are schools and hospitals and senior citizen homes, that the radiation may be affecting people. And, of course, there is the controversy about cell phone radiation, especially when young kids are using these cell phones and it's damaging their brains. And, of course, you can imagine what the relays are doing. But anyway, we have just got an affiliated Amicus Veritas YouTube site. This site is affiliated with Amicus Veritas, and it's called Reckless Bicyclists Drivers. Better get it to you another day. Friday we'll get into that, and I'll have the link. But anyway, we are exposing all these reckless bicyclists, and people got to realize that it's happened. Bicycles not only hurt people when they're run down, and I was a victim by one of these reckless bicyclists on the sidewalk. Deliberately ran me and my old lady down. And also, we've had people who, two homicides in this case, by reckless in this city by reckless bicyclists. So, you know, and they have no liability insurance, although one guy owns a software company. He hired a big law firm to try to cover his ass. Another kid didn't have any money, moved here from Ohio, a Chinese ethnic kid. They gave him probation, which was ridiculous. The thing is that these bicyclists have all these special rights. These bike paths are built for them. They have bike racks, and they have a lot. They don't have money to spend for safety devices on their bicycles, or they won't put them on because they're real cheap. It costs $1 for some of these lights and horns or bells. And remember, when you were a kid, those of us who were in that period where you had tricycles, you had little devices, ring bells on your tricycle to warn people you're coming down the street or whatever. We don't see this anymore. And there's this attitude that I'm special, get out of my way or I'll run you down, to hell with you, you know. And so I have defined them as a latte leisure class or a leisure class. And it's time that these people be held accountable, that nobody should have these kind of special rights. And if you're a driver and you don't have insurance and you get in an accident, you lose your license. And it's time that we hold these people accountable and do not fall prey to the propaganda by some of these people who, in fact, drive Mercedes. They don't ride bicycles. And we can document the photos and videos that we have of one newspaper, the Bay Guardian, where they drive expensive cars. There are no bicycles in their parking lot. And, of course, they were among the biggest promoters of this bicycle special rights agenda. Now, the origin of these bicycle paths, and it's documented, started in 1944 by the Gauleiter of Holland, Arthur Sess Inquart, who was an Austrian lawyer who was appointed by Hitler to be the Gauleiter of Holland, and he was a rabid anti-Semite. He deported 5 million Dutch to Germany for forced labor, deported all the Jews that the Gestapo could get their hands on, and they were deported to the various concentration camps. And also, in his administration, one of the orders that came out was that there would be bike paths established in Holland. And this was presumably to facilitate the movement of German military vehicles. Now, also, it's interesting that General Eisenhower, at the end of the war, stayed in Europe, and he had observed and took notes on the Autobahn system. But there's nowhere in any of his writing or speeches that we can find where he promoted bicycle paths for the United States. Now, when he became president, he is the father of the interstate highway system, and nowhere in the federal directives in his administration were there provisions for bicycle paths on the federal highway system. And it's also insane, but we'll get into that because these things are not safe. And, of course, if you hit a bicyclist, you better have auto insurance and liability insurance. So these are some of the political fictions that are propagated by these bicycle advocates who want money to spend on their lattes and expensive wines and their gourmet meals and their vacations, and those who are into cocaine. Now, it used to be that the drug dealers rode bikes at night because the vice cops in their cars couldn't catch them. Now it's a whole new group I guess you could call them yuppies, and they're cut across the various ethnicities. We have all kinds of these people who do not contribute to the economy other than buying coffee or wine or meals. And then, of course, the underground economy of pot and cocaine and meth and the rest of those drugs. So we need to take a hard look at this and hold these people accountable. Enough of this. Now, we're going to be back Friday. I'm losing my voice again. And we're going to end with our usual theme. And we got some interesting interviews coming up. I have Dr. Broderick that I interviewed on pet food. We were going to use an older interview, but I interviewed him over the weekend, and I just had to edit it down. And we will have trying to get Patrick Butler back again, and also a descendant of one of America's great labor leaders. He has some interesting comments. This descendant has some interesting comments on Occupy, and interestingly, this young man works for a non-union, a major corporation. This is going to be an interesting interview. So we're going to end with our usual politics and poker, because there seems to be a lot of that, although I don't know who's playing poker these days, but we're hearing a lot about politics, and there's a lot of politics playing. So here we go, our favorite theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King Ben.
Occupy. Hold it up to you.
Hey, Johnny, what are you
going to
do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too.
Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big Ace.
expense.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Impose.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one, I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
where to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in.
Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich. I'm certain he'd run.
Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
He's only 23.
What about Ed Peterson?
You idiot! That's me!
Politics and poker! Politics and poker! Playing for a pot that's mediocre! Politics and poker! Running neck and neck! If politics seems more predictable, that's because usually you can stack the deck!
Friday. It's Peter Paul Pizzola. I hope I have my voice back by then. Good night and thanks for listening. Okay. Mm-hmm.